You know, I didn't apologize enough for the mailbag on Monday. I've known her for many years. She was, you know, she's contrary to begin with, but she was particularly ornery on Monday. And I know she's going to be mad because she listens to this show. I know she doesn't like to admit it. I see you, mailbag. She hates Dan and me. She just hates us. But there's something about the show. It's repulsive, but she can't turn away. But she's going to be upset that I'm not reading the mail that she gave us. We have a lot of great letters here, a lot of great questions that I'm going to hold until Dan gets back. We have a question about, well, you guys said that God doesn't speak today. We only get information from the scriptures. What about that still small voice? Yeah, we didn't deal with that. When I read that, I just popped myself in the head. Oh, yeah, we needed to talk about that. So we're going to when Dan gets back next week. Another woman wants to know what happens after eternity. Well, that's a contradiction of terms. See, I got to wait for Sheridan on that one. He will dig into that. Oh, someone wrote, Elizabeth wrote with a great analogy on free will. And she uses a refrigerator, a beer, and Bill Gates in this analogy. You got to hear that, the refrigerator, the beer, and Bill Gates. Yeah, I'm going to just whet your appetite on that one. How do you like that, mailbag? Yeah, I know you're listening out there. I know you hate us. And yet at the same time, somehow you love us. All right. Oh, three groups. Yeah, I told you about the three groups. And for this, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. There are three groups. Hardly anybody knows this. I'm going to explain this to you, how it applies to the political realm, too. Love that word, decentralization. As I said yesterday, we're dealing with this issue in government. Government's trying to centralize, to have a central power that dictates every avenue of your life, otherwise known as socialism or communism. And we saw a similar thing in Israel, although God himself instituted that. He said, here's the one nation, that talk about centralized power. But you see, the Israelites didn't realize, or they didn't like the idea that they were to be the conduit of blessing to the other nations, and they hated it whenever the other nations got any blessing apart from them. So I love that centralized power. But ever since that veil in the temple rent, when our Lord died on the cross, said it is finished, and the veil in the temple ripped in half, was a gigantic thing. It weighed more than a three-humped Mediterranean camel. As soon as that veil ripped, that God was open, and now he dwells in our hearts. We are now the dwelling place of God. How about that? It used to be that God walked and talked with Adam in the Garden of Eden, and that was his dwelling place in the garden. Adam talked with him in the cool of the day. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, but that situation came to a crashing halt when the tempter, the adversary, caused the first couple to doubt God. And so we waited many hundreds of years. God finally called a nation, and he dwelt in the temple. Israel became his nation, chose one nation among many, and he lived in that box called the Holy of Holies. And that was where God lived. But the veil of that temple rent, and now God dwells in our hearts. He lives in each of us. Talk about decentralizing the government. Now the Spirit of God lives in people who are scattered to the four corners of the earth. And these people are seeking him apart from the centralized government that says, we have all the answers. Now Sheridan and I, we don't have all the answers. But we can point you to the answers. You know, we're not here telling you, you have to believe us because we're scholars. You have to believe us because look at the diploma on our wall. We don't want you to believe us. We want you to be Bereans. The Bereans were the people Paul wrote to who didn't even believe Paul. They didn't believe him. They sought the scriptures to see that what he was saying was so. And so that's what we ask you to do. That's decentralized government because everybody has a copy of the scriptures. It wasn't always that way, was it? There was another way to centralize the power. The Catholic Church held the scriptures, and you can't get these apart from us. And it was in Latin, so the common person couldn't understand it, and it was a monopoly. And that leads to spiritual socialism, spiritual communism. But God is in the business of freeing his people. And I pray that you are hearing that voice today. God still speaks today. but he will not contradict what he has revealed in his word. The Spirit of God makes its home in you. That's a new thing too. You know that? The Spirit of God didn't always do it that way. Back in the old days, the Spirit of God came and went, came and went, came and went. You remember Saul, King Saul? When he was having good days, the Spirit of God was in him. But then the scriptures would say the Spirit of God left him. When David would play the harp, brum, 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 you know, Saul would be calmed and the Spirit of God would come in him. And then David would put his harp away and Saul would become agitated. The Spirit of God left. The Spirit of God must have had something to do with that harp. I don't know. Nobody plays the harp nowadays, do they? Why isn't that? Why is that? I think harp music is beautiful. Somebody invited me to an art festival up in Cleveland. There was this woman playing the harp. It didn't hurt that she was a beautiful woman, but the harp is just like, it's just mesmerizing. And I thought of King David playing that harp. Why did I start talking about that? We need more harp players. If you play the harp and would like to perform for us here in the studio, we will listen to you and rejoice in God. Back to Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to this. I'm going to read this and get the whole context here, starting with verse 18 of chapter 1. For the word of the cross is stupidity indeed to those who are perishing, yet to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I shall be destroying the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of the intelligent shall I be repudiating. That was God speaking. Now Paul again. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the discusser of this eon? Does not God make stupid the wisdom of this world? For since, in fact, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. That's kind of a convoluted statement. Paul loves those statements. You ever notice that? My interpretation of that is, does not God make stupid the wisdom of the world? For since, in fact, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. The world tries to use its wisdom to understand God. But in the wisdom of God, he dispenses his message through the stupidity of the heralding. People like Sheridan and I, stupid guys, and yet the word of life comes forth. God delights to do this through the stupidity of the heralding, the completion of the cross and nothing added to it. That's stupid to the religious man. It's stupid to the Greek as well. Going to get to that. It's coming right up. God delights. It pleases him. He laughs to bring forth people like, well, unwise, weak, ignoble, stupid people. The stupidity of the heralding to save those who are believing. Since, in fact, here it is. Listen to this. I'm in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Since, in fact, Jews signs are requesting and Greeks wisdom are seeking. Yet we are heralding Christ crucified. To Jews, indeed, a snare, yet to the nation, stupidity, yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the stupidity of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you hear the three groups in here? Jews, signs are requesting, Greeks, wisdom are seeking, yet we are heralding Christ. There's Jews, there's Greeks, and there's we. Three categories. To the Jews, the cross is a snare. To the Greeks, it's stupidity. Yet to those who are called, we, the cross is the power and the wisdom of God. There are only three categories of people in this world. Listen to me, folks. There are only three categories of people. There are Jews, and Paul is not talking about literal Jews here. He's talking about the religious person. To the religious person, the cross is a snare. In other words, it's too simple. The religious person likes to work for his or her salvation. And to say that Jesus Christ did it all, that it's complete, the religious person is snared in that. The cross is a snare. They trip over it because of its completion. It does not require anything additional from them. And so since they hate this, they build religions in order to do things to please God. And it's a slap in the face to God. I'm not only talking to the Jews, I'm talking to the Catholics. My God, in the Catholic religion, we had to do all sorts of things. The Catholic religion stumbles at the cross because of its completion. We have to add things to it. Sacraments, we have to add baptism. We have to add saying prayers for your sins. You have to visit the priest. Listen, you Protestants aren't off the hook. anything you have to do to please God makes the cross into a snare. Even belief. That's right. If you make belief the ticket to ride, this is your ticket to ride. This is the dime that kicks out the gumball of salvation. Then that becomes a work, and it's a snare. And the cross becomes a snare. You're not resting in the completion of the cross. That's the Jew. To the Greeks, the cross is stupidity. Wow, they're too smart for it. Oh, how can a man dying a shameful death on a cross help me? Huh. Only weaklings need Jesus Christ. It's a crutch. The Christian religion's a crutch. You've heard it. The wisdom of the world. Whoever heard of a man loading animals two by two into a big boat? It's ridiculous. We're too smart for that. You stupid people. How can you believe these fairy tales? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Ha, ha, ha. It's a big joke to them. It's stupidity. Now, you see? The Jews stumble. The Greeks say it's stupid, yet there's a third category. Yet we who believe, we who are believing, the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it takes supernatural move on God's part to cause you to see this. And if you do see it, you must be called out of either group. Look at this. Paul puts the Jews in the same boat as the Greek. They're not believers. You hear what I'm saying? There's Jews. There's the religious world, there's the worldly world, and then there's believers. Paul is lumping the Christian world, the religious world, into the same boat as the Greek world or the worldly world. The same boat. They're just as doomed. Just because you're in a church and you whitewash your unbelief makes you just as much an unbeliever as an unbeliever. You're still an unbeliever because you're believing in your works instead of Christ. The only difference is you're whitewashing it. You're doing it, you're practicing your unbelief in a church. You're practicing your unbelief while singing a hymn, while baking brownies for your neighbor. You're doing good works, but you're still an unbeliever because to you, the cross is a snare. You can't rest in the sufficiency of Christ. You have to add your own works to it. Wow, what a revelation in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Jew, the religious man, the Protestant, the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Catholic, they're in the same boat as the dumb Greek who's sitting there knocking back a whatever Greeks drink to get drunk. Or whatever they're doing in their proud stupidity. Whatever. You people are no better than the proud, stupid people in the church. You just at least have the decency not to whitewash it. That's the way I look at it. At least you have the decency not to whitewash it. I'd actually say in this instance, the Greeks are worse off than the Jews. Oh, man. I still got to relate this to politics, which I am going to do tomorrow. Because I think the liberals are ticked off at the conservatives for more reasons than a political disposition. I think there's a religious disposition here. Going to get it tomorrow, God willing. I would like you to believe in God in spite of what the clergy tell you. I'll see you tomorrow.